Let's just chazer again briefly from the beginning of the simon. The beginning of the simon talked about the idea of a davar chashuv not being batal, right? Davar chashuv osur mina b'kol shuv v'hem shivat varim. Remember, we had Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva and the Mechaber passed like the round like Rabbi Akiva. Ve'elu heimagol deperach v'yonei badim v'chavi yostumos v'chilfos tradin v'kilchei krov v'dlas yivanis v'kikro shel balabayis. The Shach points out here that the chavi yostumos only means big chavi yostumos, not little chavi yostumos. That since I've gotten dalet. But I mean, that's Ashkenazim aren't going to pass exactly like this anyway. And likewise, live animals. That's what he pointed out, that the Mechaber Paskin, like, it's only the seven things, and he'll say a little later, or something equivalent to those seven things, which, you know, maybe will be a little tricky for us to figure out if we're Spartan. But the Ramah Paskins, like Rabbi Meir, that any davar shebe minyan is not batel, and specifically the Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that only something always counted. V'yesh omrim, d'chol davar shebe minyan, d'aynu shedarko, l'noso tamid, eino batel, v'chein, no hagin. Right? So that's, I think we just had on the board. We'll just put the opinions of the poskim. We have Rabbi Akiva, Shiva Dvarim. That is the Mechaber, and that's how started with poskim. We have Rabbi Meir, Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, who says S Shedarko Limnos. And that is the Ramah. And then we have Rav Yochanan Lefi Reish Lakish, which says Kol Shedarko Limnos. Which exactly is quoted by the Shach and the Taz from the Sefer Truma, which was written in Beis Yosef, and a number of Achronim who went that way. The Yisraheter and the Bach and the Maharshal, and the Shach sounds like he's noted that way, and the Taz definitely says there's no Hefzid. We are Machmer that way, and it's pretty muskum among the Ashkenazic Rishonim. It's pretty muskum among the Ashkenazic Rishonim that we're Machmer that way. Shalom Machmer Hefzid. So let us say says the Taz. Let's put someone here. Let's put the Bach and the Maharshal. We're putting Achronim. And what do we paskin? We paskin halacha l'maisa for Ashkenazim. Sfardim hold like the Mechaber. Ashkenazim hold al pi the Taz. And all the Achronim seem to assume this way, that if it's Makom Hefzid, we can be mako, not like the Mechaber. We're never mako like the Mechaber. Really, none of the Ashkenazic Rishonim held like the Mechaber. There's no reason for Ashkenazim to ever rely on the Mechaber. But we're mako like Rav Yochanan at Shedarko Limnos. But if there's no Hefzid, then we're mako like Reish Lakish on Kol Shedarko Limnos. Exactly what level of Hefzid is not 100% clear. The Aruch HaShulchan says, really, whenever you need to, you can rely on the Ramah, even if it's Hefzid Ktsas. The Prima Gadim assumes only a Hefzid Meruba. Prima Gadim says Hefzid Meruba. The Aruch HaShulchan is a little more Mako and says even Hefzid Ktsas. Okay, so even if it's, you know, not a tiny Hefzid, but, you know, a medium hefzid, then we could be mekel. But halacha l'maisa, what this means is that even though in Siman Kuf Tes we learn that yavish be yavish, min b'minos batal b'rov, really there's not that many cases when it's so pasha to say that yavish be yavish, batal b'rov, min b'mino. Because if we're machmer and kol shadak l'limnos, a lot of things are sometimes counted. And therefore, they would not be batal. Unless it was a hefzid, then you would have more grounds to be mekel. So, as I pointed out, there's a lot of things that are counted sometimes, right? Even fruits are counted in bodegas, even though they're not counted in supermarkets. And lollipops are counted in candy stores, even though they're not counted in supermarkets, etc. So, basically, a lot of things, not grains of rice, no one counts grains of rice, and no one counts meatballs, but a lot of things are counted. And therefore, Ashkenazim would be machmer on them. The Pesachei Tshuva here has a whole discussion of eggs. Eggs in the old days was something that was sometimes counted, sometimes not counted. And therefore, it had to do with the machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish and the machlokes of Rishonim and Achronim here. And they have a big discussion. They said, maybe Malkum Hefzik, we can be makel on eggs. But in the end, the Pesachei Tshuva says, no, nowadays, eggs are always counted. For Ashkenazim, eggs are pashut, meaning eggs are not even achlokas for Ashkenazim. Because eggs are always counted. So even if there's the biggest hefset in the world, you can't be makel in eggs, because eggs are ace shadarko limno. So they're usher according to Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So that's pretty pashut nowadays also. I've never seen anyone sell eggs by anything but count. Here is some things that are not, like, in the... Here are some things that are a little unclear. A lot of things nowadays are not necessarily sold in the Rishonim. It's always, are they counted out or do you estimate? If they're counted out, they're very chashuv. If you just estimate, they're not chashuv, right? So, you know, do you like count out the apples or do you say, oh, here's a bushel of, you know, here's a barrel of apples. You know, it looks like around $5 worth, etc. Nowadays, most things are not counted per se, and are not estimated. Nowadays, most things are sold by weight or volume, you know, if they're liquids, etc., right? What about things that are sold by weight, right? So what about, for example, and nowadays, like, nothing's really estimated anymore. Everything's sold by exact weight, even if it's not counted. You go to the supermarket, you want to buy grapes. No one's counting any grapes, but they are weighing the grapes, and you're paying for every gram. No one's counting the cherries, but they are weighing the cherries. No one's counting the rice, but they're weighing the rice too. So what about things that are sold by weight or volume? They put on the scale. What about things they put on the scale? So here it's not 100% clear. It's a little funny. Like, obviously in the time of the Gemara, they sold things by weight and volume all the time, right? But is that called a Darsha Minyan or not a Darsha Minyan? Okay, forget the volumes, because volumes usually for liquids, and liquids are not even in pieces at all. It's hard to talk about that. But how about things you sell by weight? So that's not clear, but the Yad Yehuda says, and this is what it sounds like from the Pasha of Shad of Rishonim, that if things are sold by weight, that's not Darsha Minyan. Because they're not machshav each piece. They're not machshav each piece. You know, grains of rice are also sold by weight in places where they have loose grains of white rice. They're sold by weight. I have a store near me. They sell oatmeal by weight. It's not because it's chashuv. It's just because they have to figure out how to sell it somehow. Right? So, halacha l'maisa, what do we assume? We assume that if things are sold by count, that's clear. Dover sheva minyan. Okay, then if it's always sold by count, then it's pashat asa rashkenazik. But sometimes sold by count, then makom hefzik or meko, sold by estimate, then it's clearly not davar shel minyan. But what about things sold nowadays? There are two kinds of ways you buy things in the supermarket nowadays. One way is they weigh it for you. They put on a little scale thing. So what if it is sold by weight or volume? Be the same thing. So says the Yad Yehuda here. You can see it in the Beis Medrash. That's not called davar shel minyan. So, the things in the produce section they sell by weight is not called davar shel minyan. Yes, Yaakov?
Things that are always counted, even if it's a hefzid,
correct. Ashkenazim cannot be makel. Yes. Correct. Okay, what about, here's the more common case. What about things that are sold in packages? They're sold in weight by packages. But then they count the packages in the supermarket, right? If I buy a bag of cookies. It's a 500 gram bag of cookies in the store, box of cookies in the supermarket. It's sold by 500 grams, but I'm paying per package. So like each cookie is not chashuv, right? They're just selling 500 grams of cookies, but each package is chashuv because each package has its own UPC code and they scan and they charge you separately for each package. So what about things like this? Most things in the supermarket are not such chashuv thing that each one is important. No. They're just, each package is important. Now, here it gets tricky. On the one hand, why is each package important? Just because, like, that's a convenient way to avoid having to put everything on the scale, not because each package is really important. On the other hand, no. Once it gets to the supermarket, each package is treated as an independent unit, which is, you know, has its own financial significance. So what do you do with packaged goods? So the Badei HaShulchan wants to be makel. What about sold by the package? And that's most things in the supermarket. The Badei HaShulchan wants to be makel and says, when you're selling it by the package, you're really selling it by the gram. It's just not convenient. Can you imagine? You're buying, what do you call tea bears in English? Tea biscuits, right? Tea biscuits in the supermarket, they're going to just have like a big bin of tea biscuits. You're going to scoop it into one of those little clear baggies and put it on the scale. It's a big mess. So instead they put it in boxes, but it's not because of chashiva, it's just for convenience.
Just to clarify, the shaila is in the event that the whole package gets mixed in
with other packages. Correct, while it's still in the package. Exactly. So what about, while it's a closed package. Right, once it's an open package, it's not a different minion anymore. Right, so what about a closed package? So says the Badei HaShulchan, he says that's not called Davar Shebeminyan. Correct, while it's still in the package. While it's still in the package. I don't mean like half of it's still in the package, I mean it's all still in the package, right? Still in the sealed package, right? Closed package. Right. Obviously, if I buy tea biscuits in a box of 500 grams of tea biscuits, and then I open the box and take out some tea biscuits, that's not a Davar Shemini anymore. No one counts tea biscuits. I mean, you could if you have nothing better to do with your life, but no one would do that in a business context. Right? No one in a store is counting tea biscuits. Maybe Weight Watchers would. But while it's in the box, each box of tea biscuits is a totally separate inyan, which financially, like the inventory program on the store's computer keeps track of, right? So, says the Badei HaShulchan, not Davar Shebeminyan, because the packaging isn't really significant. It's just a convenient way to save ourselves the trouble of putting it on the scale. But no one really cares about a package of tea biscuits. It's not for chashivas, it's just to avoid the tirch of putting it on the scale each time.
Now, everybody's just joking, but can you be after that? Like, if you're watching
No, because Davar Shebeminyan only means when you sell it. Doesn't mean when you eat it. Like, even if I divvy up, meaning when my kids want tea biscuits, I'll count them out to make sure that, you'll see, when you have a few kids, that the worst ever you could do is to be unequal. Yeah, but we only mean the context of selling it.
What if it's a package of 100 tea biscuits? Like, that's making a Davar Pasha, can I eat 100 tea biscuits? Not a weight, not 500 grams.
Ah, so that's interesting, because we buy a dozen eggs in Lahore, that means we count the eggs.
Right?
So what if, but...
24 cookies, you buy a package of 24 cookies.
Okay, could be, but I don't think they have packages like that in the supermarket, do they generally? Very rarely. Meaning, it might be that a package has a certain number of tea biscuits.
Oreos, like they sell like in the...
But they don't say it's 10 Oreos.
They
don't sell it by 10 Oreos. Obviously, it happens to be a certain number, but that's coincidence. Not like you. There are very few things that you buy, like, and on the package, they're selling you a certain number of them. Obviously, there's a number of them, but they're not selling the number of them. That's coincidence. They're not counting the number. That's coincidence.
But if it would have said that, then.
If you would say sometimes
cookies,
it could. Yeah, it could be.
Cookies.
Yeah, then in a Hanami, then it could be. But, says the Yad Yehuda, though, says the Yad Yehuda. It is a Davar Shebeminyan, and he brings a good proof. Obviously, he can bring a lot of proofs back and forth, and we're not going to with all of them, but he brings a very good proof from Beitzah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where in Beitzah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, it has a case called Litra Ktzios, a liter, okay, a liter is also a Roman measurement, a liter of pressed figs, I believe, are Ktzios, yeah. A liter of pressed figs, and apparently, like, each liter of pressed figs, like, they would make separate liters of pressed figs, and then, like, stick them all together, but each liter of pressed figs would be sort of its own unit. And they say that is Darko Limnos. That's called Kulsha Darko Limnos. So you count the liters of pressed figs. So he says, what do you count the liters of pressed figs? Like, it's just a bunch of figs. Who cares that you count the liters of pressed figs? So what do you see from here? No, that was their packaging in those days. They would package each liter of pressed figs separately. So if you have a package of a certain unit and you count the number of packages, that seems to count as a Davar Shebeminyan. Seems to be a very, very good proof from Maseches Beitzah that when they would sell the pressed figs by liter, they wouldn't measure them. They would like have like different, you know, sort of liter squares. And you would say, I want to buy 5 liters. And you would say, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the equivalent of our modern day packaging, right? They would package each liter separately. And we call that Dover Shiva Minyan. Oh, it's just weighing the liter. No, no, well, once they make it a separate package, that gives a chashiva. So it seems to be their package is chashiva. So that's the Yad Yehuda's proof. L'chora we hold, and this way, really paskins, like the Yad Yehuda, the package of Dover Shiva Minyan, which means that in a commercial setting, you have big problems. For example, if there would be a company, right, that, let's say there's a company that makes tuna fish, and that company produces 1,000 cans every day. Or maybe they truck them out every week. Who knows? They produce 10,000 cans. They send 10,000 cans in a truck, and one of those cans accidentally has a tray fish inside it. Then that one can is a Dover Shiva Minyan. It's not bottle. And the entire truck full of cans is treif according to Ashkenazim. Even though tuna fish itself, not a chetichu rilis kabe tuna fish, it's not chashiv things like because like parach and rimonik baden. But for us Ashkenazim, since each can is sold separately, even though each can is only sold separately, because it's a convenient way of measuring out your tuna fish. Lemaisa, once it's in a can, each can is sold separately. Each can rings up separately in the checkout line. And therefore, we call that a Dover Shiva Minyan, which means anything in a package is not going to be bottled, because that package makes it chashim, because it makes it a unit that you sell each one separately. And that is a big chumrah of Dover Shiva Minyan, which means that, you know, basically any package goods, once it's in the package, is not going to be bottled, berov yavish b'yavish anymore, because of Dover Shiva Minyan. The only exception would be, and I tripped up guys on this once on a bechina, I think. What did I ask? I asked something like, this is what I asked. The Heinz vegetarian beans under the OU. I don't know if it still is, but it doesn't matter. It's just an example. You know, they made 10,000 cans, and accidentally, 6 of the cans were from beans that were processed on Ben Yomo equipment from Trafin and were processed on the same equipment as the pork and beans. So 6 cans were Traf, because they were cooked with the pork. Not with the pork, but in the same equipment as the pork. 6 cans are Traf, because they were cooked with the pork. The other 9,994 cans are totally kosher, they were cooked in the kosher line. So what's the din of all these cans? And I tripped up the guys, because what's the real answer?
It's Balua, right?
It's Balua. All the cans are kosher. The 6 are bottled to the 9,994. Why? Because remember, Dover Chashav is only not bottled if it's Osir Machbas Atzmo. But here, the beans were kosher. They were only had a blia of treif in them. If they only have a blia of treif, that's not called the Dover Chashav. It's only called Dover Chashav if it's intrinsically treif. So in that case, it was mutter, and you wouldn't have been tripped up by that question. Okay, but if it had been that, but if it had been not beans that are kosher versus beans with a blia of treif, but tuna fish versus dolphin, where it's intrinsically treif, then you would have had a big problem. Kosher beans versus intrinsically treif beans, which is unlikely to happen in Heinz. Let's say there's fiche shvius beans or something like that. Then you would have had a big problem because of Dover Shiva Minyan. Okay. That's what I wanted to add to Sif Aleph. Let's just finish up Sif Aleph then. Hadid Dover Chashim in a bottle, and you need your bottle. All dinim davar chashim in a bottle only midrabanan. If there's a suffix we're making, the shachi reminds us of something we saw both in the beginning of Simen Kof and the beginning of Simen Kof Aleph. If it's a suffix, whether or not it's treif, and we paskin it's treif, then that suffix is already paskin that it's treif, because mixed with other things it's not bottle. What he means here is if the suffix, whether it's chashim or not, then we can be makel mi suffix. Kol Dover Shiva Chashav says this is not relevant for Ashkenazim, but finishes up for Sfaradim. Kol Dover Shiva Chashav l'dei amakom yimikomus yoni gozei parach v'monei badim eretz shal ba'osom azman hu ozer v'kol shu l'fi chashivus ba'osom makom osom azman lo huzgur el l'fi d'shein asur v'chol shein v'chol makom v'vadin v'chol kayotz v'mishar mikomos. Okay, we already read that. Anything in your time place that's equivalent to these 7 things is not bottled for Sfaradim. So why did the Mishnah only list these 7 things? In the days of the Mishnah, these 7 things were chashav in all places. And then every place had other things that were chashav there. So it all goes by your time and place. Base. Ba'alei chayim shenis arvu ba'achir v'nishchatu. By live animals that got mixed with other things. And then with, meaning, yes?
So, but those 7 things, they're only at that time they were chashav?
I, I think the mechaber, this mechaber is just word for the Rama, means that they were in all places at that time, not necessarily in all
times.
Meaning
today, Lavnavka.
Correct. Right. It's not so relevant because we don't actually know how to identify these things today. Like, what are Rimone Baden today? I don't know, maybe not a scientist, some historian or archaeologist, whatever, could figure it out. But Lemaisa, I would say those seven things were chashim in their days. I never heard of Rimone Baden nowadays. You know, are there chashim kinds of Rimonim that are more chashim than other Rimonim? I don't know. Could be. I'm not rich enough to know all the most chashim types of everything. But I haven't heard of these things. So that's what I think. Base. Bali chayim. So live animals got mixed with, meaning, what's the example of chayim? Ashor nisko, right? Remember Ashor nisko for morning savior, lo ye ochel es basaro, right? Totally trafe. Ashor haniskal got mixed with 100 kosher oxen. They're all trafe. Bali chayim is a bottle. You lost 101 oxen. What if they were all shechted? Bottle chashivus. So now they lost their chashivus, so they're not live animals anymore. Ubetelin. And now all 101 are kosher because they are not live animals anymore, and the Shor Niskal is bought. Del v'hush is shenishkdu b'shogeg. Chazrei simen kovet zitzadi tes. Eim v'al nishlo chachila. There's only if you shechted them b'shogeg. Not if you shechted them b'mezid. V'davka adds the Ramah b'alechayim katanim she'im v'in l'skabit ach shvitasav. But Ramah has a different problem. Hold on a second. Once they're shechted, they don't have chashivas of bali chayim anymore. But they're still big pieces of meat, right? When you shecht an ox, that's a lot of meat. It should still be chatichu ri l'skabed. So it should still be not batal because of chatichu ri l'skabed. So why is it batal? Because it must be done by very small animals. And very small animals, they're so small that it's not ri l'skabed. What animal is so small that it's not ri l'skabed after you shecht it? I don't know, like, not any of the animals that we eat, right? You mechavet someone with a sheep or a cow or a chicken or a duck. I mean, or a chicken or a duck is more than enough to mechavet someone, right? You can mechavet four people with a chicken. He must mean, like, very small birds. Like, I don't know, like, types of doves that are, like, a small specimens that it's just, like, not much meat on them or something.
Rabbit.
What?
Rabbit.
Right, rabbits are treif.
Cold fish.
Right.
Sparrow.
What?
Little
sparrows, if sparrows are kosher, I don't know what sparrows are. Whatever they are. You know, the very, very small.
Wouldn't they not be because of whatever stage they are in the
shkita? Aha! So that's exactly the question that the Shach and the Taz ask here. So let's just point out, this Ramah, it sounds very reasonable at first, but it's really very, very difficult. Let's review what the Ramah says. Says the Ramah, What are the Ramah's implications? It says only if they're small, but if they're big, implies the Ramah, says the Ramah, Balei Chayim, or let's just say, right, Behema Gedola Shenishtata, Eina Betela, right, you say only small ones are brought to Mishon. This is exactly what the Ramah is telling us. Only small ones are bottled. Big ones, they might not be bali chayim, but now they're chatichu l'skabe. So Elon asks, what do you mean chatichu l'skabe? Remember we said, if it still needs too much processing, that's not called l'skabe? So for Sfardim, even if it's not cooked, even if it's not chopped, even for Ashkenazim, if you haven't taken off the feathers of a bird or the hide of an animal, that's not realist cabbage. It's too far from being edible. So what is the Ramah talking about? The Ramah should have just said nothing and said, of course they're bottled. It's not chatir realist cabbage. If they're shechted, it's not really chatir realist cabbage. You need too much processing. So this is the problem with the... This is a big problem with the Ramah. and basically, the Taz quote, the Marshal said that. The Marshal said, no. Being big, whether it's big or small, it's not chatir l'skabe because it doesn't need processing anymore. So, how do you answer this question, right? question on the Ramah is, but it is mechoser hafshata, that means taking off the hide, or hasaras ha notos, taking off the feathers, right? So it's not chatiha haruya leskave. Okay, this is a problem for the Ramah. How do we answer this? The Shach, it's difficult. There's a lot of different answers found in the Achronim. What does the Shach says? The Shach says something to Dachot, and then he says at the end, look what I said in Simon, Kuf Aleph of Katan Zayin, that's the corrected Gersa in mine, where he says, but we don't pass like this, Ramah. So, said, what are the answers? The answers are not great. Basically, how do we paskin? We paskin against this Ramah. Right? Halach lemaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin against this Ramah. the lemaisa, Shach, Simon Kof Aleph, not Sif, but Sif Kof Zayin, and the Gra here, and the Maharshal, who's quoted in the Taz here, the Ode, Pasku, She'eino Chaticha Haru'il Eskabed, Ubatel. Okay, how do we defend the Ramah? To defend the Ramah, you have to say something which is a little like far out, perhaps. How do you defend the Ramah? In any case, to defend the Ramah, says the Gra, he didn't necessarily mean lahalacha. He was just saying, even if you would hold the chatur l'skabe, like some sheet that we don't paskin like, you could give this answer, which is a little dachuk. Pasha says the Shach, to defend the Ramah, says the Shach, that davar hamechuser tikun gadol eino chaticha rui l'skabed aval aser mishum davar shebeminyan, because you count it. And that's what the Ramah meant. The Ramah meant, well, because if it's big, you would count it. And when you count it, then it's not batal, even if it needs a lot of processing. That's also very dachuk, because the Ramah's lashon is rui l'skabed. Basically, all the answers to the Mara Dachuk says that's the Shach. The Gra says a different Shach. Says the Gra that the Ramah is Mairi Aliba Demanda Omar Mechoser Tikon Godol Nikra Chaticha Ruri Leskabed Velo Kaimalon. Not only Lokaimalan, the Ramah doesn't paskin like it, which is also very dacha. Mar the Ramah be a leader of Shita doesn't paskin like it. Mar the Ramah really means Darvish of Minya if it says the Tulu's Kabi. Halach lemaisa, the Ramah is very difficult to justify. We paskin against this Ramah. We paskin that no, whether big or small, once a shechted is batal, because if it's shechted, it's not a bal chai anymore. And since it still has the skin and the feathers and everything, and it needs a lot of work, it's not Chatiha Ruilis Kabi, exactly like Elon said. Okay, how to defend the Ramah? Sorry, Ian, what's the least dachuk way to defend the Ramah, but the Maisa, we don't hold like him. Now we're ready to move on to a very chashuv sugya. Kavua. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Teisha chanuyos mochos b'sar shkuta b'atzvo karitzar vela. There are 9 treif butcher stores and 1 kosher butcher store. No, 9 kosher butcher stores and 1 treif butcher store. The lakach may ask me, and you're doing Ismail lakach. You bought from one of them, and you don't remember which one you bought from. Now, tell me scientifically, what are the odds that it's kosher? 90%. Very good. Okay. You're in for a job in finance. You know that 9 out of 10 is 90%. 90% odds that it's mutter. Now, let me ask you a simple question. If I go to a store and I don't know what store I went to, what are the odds that it's mutter, scientifically? 90%. If I didn't go to the store, but I found the meat on the street and it came from one of the stores and I don't know which store it came from, what are the odds scientifically? 90%. Either way, it's 90%. But halachically, there's a difference, right? Hare ze aser. The difference is when it's kavua, when I went to the fixed thing, the stores are fixed, right? The stores don't move, they're fixed in place. When I went to the kavua thing, it's aser, shekol kavua ke mechtzal mechtzadami. The rule is all kavua is considered like 50-50 halachically. Shach points out, bein l'chomer, bein l'kula. This is a didoraisa, the kavua ke mechtzal mechtzadami. We are makel based on the dindoraisa, and we are machmer based on the dindoraisa. Here it's a chumrah, right? But it's a dindoraisa in all purposes, for all purposes. Of a basar and nymphs of a shuk, but if we find meat in the street, obiad goyer in the hands of a guy, then it's mutter. Kavish rovin grace most of the kosher, since most of the butcher stores are kosher. We call the parish, we were a parish. When it's parish, we didn't go to the kvias. We found a piece of meat that was already porish. It separated itself in the kvias. Then we go by the odds and we say 90% likely that it is mutter. Okay, that's the famous chiluk d'oraisa in kavua and parish, which does not have a scientific basis. Scientifically, the odds are exactly the same, but halachically, we treat them as different. Then the Mechaber adds something that the Ashkenazim don't really agree with. Maybe we'll have a chance to get back to this. Midrabanan, he says that it's usher to eat meat you find in the street because they assert even if 100% of the butcher shops are Jewish. Nothing to do with kavua. This is a separate zero drabanan. Anyone know what this is called? Basar shenis alim and ayin, meat that you took your eyes off, is a separate zero drabanan, and Sephardim are very machmer about that. But ayin le'el sim and samach gimel, says Rama, which means to say that Ashkenazim are not so machmer about that. Okay, but we're not going to get into that now. This is the difference between parish and kavua. Lachora, parish is not a chidish. Called a parish, maybe ruba parish, is what we call last two shiurim ago or something, azlina basaruba. When you have something, you don't know what it is, you go by the odds, right? So this, I think, is not a chidish at all. Right? Parish, what's the rule? Called the parish, meruba parish. In other words, that's the same rule that's called azlinan basar ruba. We follow the odds, and this is not a chidish. Right? This is pashat. Yeah, I find a piece of meat in the street. What are the odds? The odds are 90% that it's mutter, it's mutter. That doesn't seem so difficult. The chiddush is a kol kavua, even though it's not mechzal mechtadami, is ke mechzal mechtadami. That is the chiddush, that kol kavua is ke mechzal mechtadami. Right? This is one of the biggest chiddushim for Torah. Kol kavua. Ke, we know it's not. Ke mechzal mechtadami, but midoraisa, it says if. Where did we learn this from? We learn this from Xeris Akasa, V'arav lo v'kamalav. We're talking about the chiyuv for murder. V'arav lo v'kamalav v'kohen efshva meis. Then the murderer is chayiv nisa. Why say V'arav lo v'kamalav? To teach you only if he specifically targeted that fellow, not if he just shot into a group of people. The Gemara is, what's the case? If he shot into a group of people, which was Rov Yisra, which was Rov Kenani, then Avadi, he's Potter. If he shot into a group of people, he's half Canaan and half Israel, Avadi's Potter. That's Suffolk. He's Suffolk. We don't give anyone an ownership vested. The Chiddush must be, he shot into a group of people, he's 90% Canaan and 10%, 90% Israel and 10% Canaan. You would think I'll be rove. He shot into 90% Israel. He should be a Chayiv and invested. Kamash will know, since the people were Kavua, then it's as if he shot into 50-50. It's as if it's 50-50. 50-50, we don't punish someone in Beis Din for 50-50. So that is the din of the exact Zeris HaKosov teaches us this mechudish din of kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. Now, one of the things which I know there's a big machlokas nowadays in the Olam HaYeshivas is, are we supposed to have a conceptual framework for understanding kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami? Or just chalk it up to like para aduma, one of these things that human beings are not meant to understand. Okay, those are in my morning shiur. Know that I'm usually no to one way on this. But at least in Bava Kama, okay, when it comes to Yerodea, maybe not as pasha, meaning I'm not going to have, you know, I'm not going to explain all the halachos of kashrus philosophically. Question is, how does it make sense? What is the Svara, now again, by Svara I don't mean, like, why would every, you know, mathematician or statistician or whatever it be, scientist agree with it? Scientifically, we know they're all 90% likely to be mutter. Chazal also knew scientifically it was 90% likely to be mutter. They didn't say kol kavua is 50-50. No, we all know that it's 90% likely to be mutter. They just said that al pi halacha, it's ke mechza mechza dami. The halacha turns it into a mechza mechza al pi din. Question is, why would the halacha turn into mechza mechza al pi din? What is the svara for this idea of kavua? So one option is, there is no svara, right? Maybe you can say there's no svara. Maybe it's just a gzeiros hakasov b'li svara. Right? This is many that Quran will see say it's a chiddush. Chiddush doesn't necessarily mean b'li svara, but chiddush might be taken to imply there's no svara. So you could say there's no svara, but that's a funny thing to say there's no svara. It's one thing you want to say, we don't understand the svara paraduma. Okay, but here, all the Torah said was v'arv lo v'kamalav. And Chazal darsh in the kavuas kemechza mechza dami. You would think there was some logic which made them understand the pasuk that way. So, what anyone want to suggest? What could possibly be the svara of kol kavua kemechza mechza dami? So, yes, you can imagine a lot of modern authors, and I'm sure pre-modern as well, have tried to figure out what's the svara of kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. I know some people wanted to say, well, kavua is more pshia. Right? Like, if it's parish, you find a piece of meat in the street, it's not your fault. But if you go to the store and you don't pay attention, you should have paid attention. So therefore, the Torah makes a kemechza mechza dummy. It's a little hard to say that because the Shach points out, this is bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. Sometimes it's a chumra to say kavu kemechza mechza, sometimes it's a kula. Right? So we're not going to say it's just like a kanas on you, because sometimes it's a chumra, sometimes it's a kula. So I don't think you could say, based on whether you did a good thing or a bad thing, based on whether you're responsible or irresponsible, because it's bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So I think you have to give more formal svara. Not necessarily a moral svar of like how good of a person you are. I think you have to give a more formal svar. Okay, so there are different theories out there in the world. I will tell you my theory. I am fairly confident as to what the right shot in kol kavua kemechza mechza dami is. And you can like it or you can not like it. And I will, I'll give you the same grade in your day whether you like my pshat or you do not like my pshat. But this pshat is based on the Rashba. I'm not going to give you everything the Rashba says in Torah Sabayis here. But it starts with an interesting point, which if you got through this siman a bit, you might have noticed that the Achronim talk about Kavua de Oraisa and Kavua de Rabbanim. What does Kavua de Oraisa mean? Kavua de Oraisa means something's Kavua. It is fixed in its place. And as a matter of fact, according to most poskim, Tosos and the Rashba say this mefurish, most places throughout Shas. Rashba in many places, and the famous Rash Kinon in his Sefer HaKrisos, is a little-known Sefer called the Sefer HaKrisos by the Rash Kinon, one of the Bali Tosos, which deals with, like, the klolum of Shas. And he asks the following question. He says, okay, he wants to assume that, right, remember Egla Rufa, right, from the Chumash? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are three things there's a machlokas tanaim about whether they ever happened or not. Right? The Ben Sora Mora, that's the Irani Dachas, and this week's Parsha, not yesterday's, this week's Parsha, the Bias Menuga, right? Sarasa Bias. Sounds like everyone agrees that Egla Rufa happened, which is not such a crazy thing, meaning Halavai, no one should murder anyone, but nowadays people get murdered all the time, unfortunately, lo aleinu, and those days they also did. Right? And now these are unsolved murders. In those days, there were even more unsolved murders without all our technology and everything. Right? So, and let's say Egla Rufa happened once. What's the din of the place where they broke the neck of the heifer? I think that's the word for an Egla. You can't? What does the pasuk say? Or you can't plow, or more importantly, plowing is only important because you plant, right? Plowing doesn't actually make money until you plant, right? You can't plant there. Says, there's some field in Eretz Yisrael where you can't plant. That's kavua, right? It's a field. So there's one field in Eretz Yisrael which is usher to plant. All the other fields in Eretz Yisrael are mutter to plant. Kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Every field in Eretz Yisrael is mechza al mechza, 50-50, usher to rice or planting. And therefore, suffering the rice of lechumra, so you can't have agriculture in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That's his kasha. Okay, since he lived before the Satmar Rav, he didn't think of the answer of Enochanami. Wait for Elyonami to come before we're allowed to do agriculture in Eretz Yisrael. So what does he say? So he says the mainstream psak, as we'll see it's controversial, that it's only kavu d'oraisa if it is like the store. The store is in a fixed place, and it's nikar bimkomo, and it's identifiable. Meaning, you can tell what it is if you look in a fixed place, right? If you would pay attention, you could tell which of the trade stores is the kosher store. They have a sign on the wall, right? Or they have a name of the store, and one has a two-dot kashrut, and the other doesn't have a two-dot kashrut. You didn't pay attention, but it's identifiable in a certain place. Likewise, in a group of people, Kananim and Yisraelim, each one is standing in a certain place, and they're all identifiable. If you look at them, you can tell who they are. If you can't tell by looking at them, you ask them for their two-dot zehut, right? You can tell who they are. As opposed to the case of the Nachal Eitan, right? The Nachal Eisan, which is the place where you do the Arifa Sagla, you can't tell what it is, right? There's one in a fixed place someplace in Israel, but you can't identify it anymore. So that's not Kavua, explains the Rosh Kinon. Okay, we'll come back to this in a moment, but let's just review what we said here. That Kavua de Oraisa is where there's an Isser Kavua v'nikar bimkomo. It has a fixed place, and it's identifiable in that fixed place. Like stores, or like people, who are identifiable, or like the case of Psachim, who learned the first paragraph of Psachim. Right? Remember the piles of matzah and piles of chametz, right? There were piles of matzah and piles of chametz. A mouse took something from one pile, you didn't notice which, and brought it into your house. Do you have to search? Okay, the piles were identifiable in this place. The chametz pile was chametz, the matzah pile was matzah, you just didn't notice which. Right? All the cases of Kavua and Shas are nicker ben komo. However, if you would learn Zvachim, who learns Daf Yomi? You would have learned Zvachim a mere two mesechtas ago. So it's probably fresh in your mind. Right? Well, pretend that two mesechtas ago was not 8 months. This part of Zvachim was really between 9 and 10 months ago. The eighth parak of Zvachim, which is nicknamed Parak HaTaroves, okay, I'll give you a tip. Someday you won't be embarrassed. Someone tells you something, you read in the Rashba, he says it's in Parak HaTaroves. And you open up your Zvachim and you can't find Parak HaTaroves. I don't know if this happened to anyone. Yeah, okay. So, I should have given you this tip at the beginning of the year. What's Perek HaTarovis? The eighth Perek HaZvachim says on top, Kol HaZvachim, Perek Shmini Zvachim, starts called HaZvachim Shenis Arvu. The Rishonim and Achronim call it Perek HaTarovis. Because it starts called HaZvachim Shenis Arvu. But if you just look on top of the page, it just says Kol HaZvachim. Okay. That's all about Pasul Karbanos that got mixed with Kosher Karbanos. Or Asur Karbanos that got mixed with Mutter Karbanos, etc. Right? You know, Kol HaZvachim, which is Arv Bahem Shor HaNiskal, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One Shor HaNiskal gets mixed into a whole herd of Olas, etc. What do you do? And the answer is, they're all Pasul, because Bali Chaim are not Batel. The Gemara there has many of the Dinim of Tarovis, Dover Choshev, not being Batel. Basically, almost all the Dinim of Dover Choshev, Tarovis, not being Batel, are in the Eif Perek HaZvachim. And the Gemara says that that's called Kavua. If one animal runs away and you find it in the street, that's parish, it's mutter. But as one of the animals together, it's kavua. Well, the Rishonim asks, what kind of kavua is that? That's not kavua. First of all, nothing's in its place. The animals might wander around. They're certainly not nicker. You can't tell which is which. If you could tell which, then you wouldn't have a problem halachically. And this is only a din d'rabbanan. We all know this is a din d'rabbanan. So Tosfos points out, or the Rashba, and everyone points out, that there's also something called kavua d'rabbanan. What is Kavua Durabanan? Is a taroves of a Dover Chashuv She'eno Batel. A taroves of Dover Chashuv She'eno Batel is called Kavua Midrabanan. In the Beis Yosef, I think he quoted Rashbas to that effect right here. If you learn the Beis Yosef, I think it was in the Beis Yosef, he quoted the Rashbas as well. There's Kavua Durais and Kavua Durabanan. And the Shach talked about Kavua Durais and Kavua Durabanan. Kavua Durabanan is Bali Chayim, and Dabar Sheva Minyan, and Chaticha Merilis Kaved, and Birya, that's Kavua D'Rabbanan. Kavua D'Raisa is something that has a fixed place and is readily identifiable. Okay, the Kasha is, and here if you're Merdaik and the Rashba, I think it's clear that what I'm saying is correct. This is Meduyak in the Lashon of the Rashba. this medugel lashon the Rashba. I think it's pashut. Why is that called kavua derabanan? That's a din of davar chashavino batel. What does that have to do with kavua midrabanan? Kavua midrabanan is not about a tarovis. I bought one piece of meat. I just don't know what store I bought it from. What does that have to do with a tarovis of piece of meat that a chatichos or rius list copied? So I think the answer is pashut. I think the answer is, again, I don't mean svara, like I'm going to explain to you how a scientist would have come up with the rule of kavua. Obviously not. The rule of kavua is xeris akasiv. I just wanted a conceptual framework for this xeris akasiv. The answer is very pasha. What's the difference between kavua and parsh? What's the logical difference between kavua and parsh? There's no logical difference between kavua and parsh. There is a legal difference between kavua and parsh, or a halachic difference between kavua and parsh. We know that in halacha, the answer to a question often depends on how you ask the question. And by this, I don't mean a, sort of untraditional idea that, well, if you ask the question very nicely, then it'll be mutter. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that there aren't only halachas about the answer to questions. There are halachas about how you're supposed to ask the question. What's the chefzer that you're supposed to ask about? Right? What factors go into the question? What factors don't go into the question? There are halachas about what the question is. And basically, halachas about what the question is, that will tell you halachas what the answer is. I'll just give you a classic example of this machlokas. What if I am, this is machlokas shach and taz. Don't pask it yet, right? But let's say we could, lemaisa. I am cooking cholent and you're cooking cholent, right? And Isser Drabanan fell into one of the two pots, but no one noticed which. Right, guys, looking so an Isser Drabanan fall into one of the pots, either my cholent's treif or your cholent's treif, be Drabanan. What would I say? Can I eat my cholent? What's the rule? Can I eat my cholent? And Isser Drabanan might have fallen into it. Savdur on the kula. Can you eat your cholent?
Yeah.
Savdur on the kula. Can we both eat our cholent?
Yeah.
How can we both eat our cholent? Then we're eating treif. My cholent is mutter, your cholent is mutter. But they're both not mutter. So, what's the halacha? So, maybe the halacha is, okay, machlokes Ramban Rashban, later machlokes Shatataz, but let's assume. If I go to ask the rabbi, my cholent's mutter. If you go to ask the rabbi, your cholent's mutter. If we both go to ask the rabbi together, the cholents are both usher. Why? Because what's Shnei Shvilin? Exactly. That's Shnei Shvilin in your day of Kusum Kavir Aleph. Right? Because if the question is about this Chefza, it's Mutter. The question is about a bigger Chefza, then it is Usser. And what if I go to ask the rabbi, I'm wondering what my din is, and Yoni also wants to know what his din is? Then it's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether it's Usser or Mutter. What's the Machlokas? Machlokas is not how to answer the questions. Machlokas is the halachas of asking questions. Right? Halachically, did I only ask about myself? Or halachically, did I ask about both of us? Okay, there are halachas about how to define the question, which then determine the answer. Okay, and I'm where Machmir. Okay, so we see in halacha that how you ask the question changes the answer, not because there's a scientific difference. Just because there are halachic, legal, formal principles that depends on not the way you ask the question, how you pick to ask the question in your own words. How the halacha determines the question should be asked. I would assume, I have no idea, I would assume that in second world legal systems also there are probably laws about how to define the exact question in various cases. But maybe there are, there aren't. It doesn't matter to me. I would assume it's just a property of a legal system. But I don't care. It's not my problem. Halacha lemaisa, let's go back to kavua and parsh. I want to claim the following thing. What is the chefza of the question? Here's an interesting question. What is the chefza of the question? Now, the first thing I'm going to say, you find in every modern article of kavua and parsh. What's the difference in the chefza of the question between kavua and parsh? Between if I went into a store and I find a piece of meat on the street. If I find a piece of meat on the street, what's the chefza I'm asking about? The piece of meat, right? So what am I going to say? I'm going to say like this. In parsh, the chefza hanidona is he hachaticha. The chefta we're asking about is a chaticha. And what's the answer? Once we're asking about a chaticha, what's the question? Ha'em hachaticha asura o muteris. Once we know that's the question in Parish, why is the question only about the chaticha? Because I only encountered a chaticha.
I didn't go to any stores. I never touched the stores. Why would I ask a question about stores? I'm asking a question about the Chaticha. Once the question is the Chaticha Mutter or Asur, what rule do we use? The rule of Rav. Right, exactly. And the answer, right, the Tshuva is Mutter Al Pi Rav. However, what about Kavua? Now here is where I'm going to say something a little different than some of my friends. Some people say, what's the difference? In Parish, the Shaila is, what's the status of the piece of meat? But in Kavua, yes, I only brought the piece of meat home. But my question wasn't really about the meat, because what did I deal with? The store, not the meat. Right? So what many people say here, in Kavua, the question is about the store. I want to say a little different.
The question is about the person, where he decided to go.
So here you could take it different ways. One answer could be, the question is not about the meat, the question is about the person, and maybe the person... After all, how do you know which store you went to? You didn't pick Al Pi Rav. There's many factors that influence where you went, and therefore we have to call it 50-50. That's one derech. I'll explain to you in a moment why I'm not taking that derech. Maybe Mesh could tell if someone takes that derech. And it's a good derech, except I'll show you the advantage of mine. The question is, I didn't encounter a piece of meat. I encountered a store. But now what's the question? Here's the chai. Is the question, what's the status of that store? Question is, that store, what's its status? Can I ask the question? That store that I went to, what's its din? There's a problem asking that question. Why? Because I don't know which store I went to, so how do I know which store to ask about? I'm asking, the store that I went to, what's its din? I can't ask about the store that I went to, because I don't know which store I went to. So rather, what's my claim? What's the chetza hanidona? The chetza hanidona is, what did I really go to? I went to a group of stores. I went to a tarovis of stores. That's what I did. I went to a tarovis of stores. I don't know which store I went to. If I knew which store I went to, I would just go back and check if there's a two down the wall or not. Right? I don't know which store I went to. Oh, how can I not know which store I went to? Okay, I'm a Luftbench. Right? I don't know which store I went to. Right? I'm an American in Israel who thinks everything's kosher. So I just picked any pizza store, and I bought a pizza because everything in Israel is kosher, and I don't know which way. I was lost. I asked someone for directions, and someone else showed me the way to the bus. When I get back, they tell me, you didn't go to the one treif pizza store, did you? I said, what do you mean? In Israel, everything's kosher. No, there's one treif pizza store and 9 kosher ones. I say, can you retrace? I can't retrace my steps. I don't know where I went. So what's my shaila? My shaila, I have to be able to point at something and say that's my shaila. My shaila is not the pizza. Because the issue wasn't what pizza I bought. The issue is what store I went to. But the shaila is also not one store. Because I don't know which store I went to. The shaila is, Nechlol hachanuyot, the group of stores, right? How do I say this without hard Hebrew words? Okay, he taroves hachanuyot. That's what I'm claiming. In Kavua, what did I go to? I didn't go to a store, because I don't know which store I went to. All I know is that I went to one of the 10 stores. That means I went to this jumble of 10 stores. I encountered the jumble of 10 stores. I don't know which one I encountered. Now the shaila is, one second, what's the shaila is? Ha'im taroves hachanuyos hi muteres o asura. Is the group of stores mutter or asur? Now what are we going to say? Are you going to say the group of stores is mutter al pirov? Are all the stores together mutter or asur? What's the answer going to be? Can you say all the stores together are mutter? No, because one of them has a sign that says treif. Could you say all the stores together are usser? No, because 9 of them have a sign that says kosher. What's the answer? The answer is, it's a chefza shel taroves. Well, let's take one more step. The factor is, we have to factor in, lo shayach lomar. Dechanos ha'asura tisbatel berov chanuyos hamutaros. It's not shayach to say that the treif store is batel to the kosher stores. Why? You can't be able to batel something that's identifiable, right? Remember, right? If I have one orange, treif orange mixed with 9 kosher apples, you can't say bitel because I know which is which, right? Shaharei nicker, something nicker, cannot be batel. In which case, what's the answer? The answer is, it is a taroves she'ein It is a taroves. Sheyesh bo. Sehuyot. Okay. I apologize for all the modern Hebrew. Identities. It's a taroves of the two identities, and neither identity can beat the other identity. Now, what do you do with a chefta that has two identities and neither one beats the other one? What's the din Torah if there's a chefta where neither identity wins? You know what the answer is? It's kemechzal mechzadami. It's a chefta with two identities. That's why it's kemechzal mechzadami. It's a taroves without bittul. A taroves without bittul has two clashing identities, neither of which wins, neither of which loses, and therefore it's kemechzal mechzadami equals kemechza al mechzadami. And what I'm claiming is, it's not that, I don't like the Gzeiros HaKasuv. Some people think it means we pretend the odds are 50-50, I'll be Gzeiros HaKasuv. Why do we pretend the odds are 50-50? You can't pretend the odds are 50-50, they're 90-10. But we can say the Chefta has a din of 50-50. Because in a Chefta, either there's Bittel, or there isn't Bittel. And if there's no Bittel, it has two clashing identities, and it's 50-50. Why do I think my pshat is better than Betzalel's pshat? Because now I understand why a Dover Chashev that's not Batal is called Kavua Durabanan. It's an interesting question. Why would the Rabbanan ever say a Dover Chashev isn't Batal? Isn't everything Dorais, the Rabbanan make have to be Kain Doraisa Tikkun? Isn't it supposed to be modeled off something in the Torah? So I'm claiming this. You know where the Rabbanan got the idea that Dover Chashev isn't Batal? Mid Doraisa, a Dover Kavua isn't Batal. Mid Rabbanan, they extended it to a Dover Chashev She'enu Kavua. And that's why it's called Kavua Durabanan. Kavua Daraisa is something that's not Batal Midoraisa. Dar Kavua Vinikar. Kavua Durabanan is something that Midorabanan they said is not Batal. But from the fact that something that's not Batal they call Kavua proves that Kavua has to do with a lack of Bittal. Why would Kavua be a lack of Bittal? Because that's exactly what I'm claiming. Parish, you're playing the odds. Kavua, you're defining a Tarovis instead of playing the odds. But you're defining a very weird kind of Tarovis. It's a Tarovis of things that are identifiable. You just forgot to check. When there's taroves of identifiable things, there can't be bittul. When there's no bittul, it's the din of 50-50. Batzal, you understand the advantage of my parish over yours?
Like that point about the wording.
Yes, about the drabanan. Right, and I think it's pretty meduyik in the Rosh, but this is how it works. Again, you could just say, I won't have that advantage, and say your pshat. Okay, lemaisa, you can like my pshat, you cannot like my pshat. I really think it is the pashat pshat. In Shas, and for sure, Pashup Shat in the Rashba. And if you have time, or Binas Manim, just open up the Rashba, read three pages about Kavu and Bittel, and I think you'll really see that he's saying what I'm saying. Obviously, he's not saying it in these words. That the din of Kavua is, again, not just instead of asking a question about the piece of meat, we ask a question about the store. What I'm claiming is that the din of Kavua is instead of asking a question about one piece of meat, we're asking a question about all the stores together, because you don't know which store to ask the question about. Once we ask about all the stores together, that's called a tarovus of stores, but it's a tarovus without bittul. A tarovus without bittul has the halachic status of 50-50, and that's where they got 50-50 from.
Where's the Rashi
from? In the Torah of Ice. It's quoted by all the Beis Yosef and everyone here. Maybe I'll just read you, if I can find, I should have underlined for myself one line of Rashba that made me say this. But I'm not going to now because our time is short. So, you definitely have to believe me that this is my pshat. Because, by definition, it's my pshat, I just said it. Okay, you don't have to believe me. It's a Rashba pshat. If you have time, you will go through the Rashba, and if not, not. Okay, but here is the din of Kavua. Betzalel? Can you be so kind, please? Yes.
Once the question is on a group of stores, then why can't we just follow Rove?
Because if there's a group, the only way to follow Rove is to be Mevatel and make the whole group have one identity. But you can't be Mevatel. You can't say the whole group has an identity of Heter. Because one of them has a sign that says it's kosher. The group cannot have one identity. That's the thing. Once you're judging a group, you're not dealing with Azlina Basarov anymore. Remember the Chakira of the Russian Rashba. You're dealing with Bittel group, defining the identity of a group. And over here, this group has an unresolved identity. Sort of like a Rav Beinah Shmashas kind of thing. Has an unresolved identity. There's one trade store which can't be bottled to the kosher. There's nine kosher stores which, of course, can't be bottled to the trade. It's a group with two identities. A group with two identities has no Bittel. Once it has no Bittel, that group is considered a Usser Mutter group. It doesn't matter the numbers. When there's a combination of things with no bittul, the numbers are irrelevant. It has two identities. That's what I'm claiming. Now, that's not a scientific thing. It's a formal thing. But obviously, Kavod was a formal idea. Okay, you can like it, you cannot like it, but Lamaisa, the Din of Kavua, is very clear. Now, there's a few details that we need to explain in this Din of Kavua, and maybe I will just explain some of them even before we get to them in the Shulchan Aruch. But Sal, you got the board, right? Let's look at some details. Now, there's a lot of technical details when it comes to this Din of Kavua, which... Now, the truth is, this Din of Kavua could come up sometimes. You know, not all the time with pizza stores, etc. But we'll see many nafkaminas. So let us ask ourselves a few questions about Kavua. Number one, let's read the Ramah. The Hadar, meaning called a Parsh, move a Parsh. Where do you draw the line between Kavua and Parsh? You can imagine there are borderline cases between Kavua and Parsh. Did you encounter the stores, or did you encounter the piece of meat? So if I find a piece of meat on the street, I encounter the piece of meat. If I walked into a store, I encounter the store. What's a borderline case? Look at this Ramah. The Hadar Min called the Parish Meruva Parish, Hainu Shlo Pirish Lefanenu. That's if it left the store when we weren't looking. Avolim Pirish Lefanenu. If we saw it leave the store, we saw a piece of meat fly out of the window of the store and land in the street. But we didn't pay attention to which store it was. Yeah, which is reasonable. Like I wasn't expecting it to come out of a window. Right? Or... What did I have? I had a test question like this once, right? I have three apple trees in my yard. One of them is Arla, two of them aren't. If I find an apple on the floor, then it's mutter. Called a parish, maruba parish, two-thirds odds that it's mutter. What if I see an apple fall off the tree, but I don't notice in the corner of my eye which tree that's on the ground? Now it's usser. That's pirish lefanenu. I saw it come off the tree. When I see it come off the tree, then my shaila is really on the tree and not the apple. That's the psak of the Rambah. If we saw it come off the tree or out of the store, or we saw the guy buy it, which is also seeing it leave the store, it's as if you took it, meaning this is a borderline case, and we'll see this as a machlokas. What about pirish lefanenu? Is it called kavua because you saw the store, or is it called parish? Because you didn't touch the store, you only touched the piece. Okay, there's a lot of lumbus we can say here. We won't go into all the lumbus. Halach l'maisav, we paskin that it is kavua. But there's still a big machlokas about it. The big machlokas about it is found in the shach, mostly in Sivkat and Chaf Beis, which I know is the next se'if. Is this midoraisa kavua because you saw the store? Or no, midoraisa, it's parish, because you didn't touch the store. It's only midrabanan kavua, because it looks like kavua. This is a big machlokas. The Shach Sukkot and Chabez, the very beginning, quotes the Bach, who says, this is only kavua de rabanan. And he later quotes, later in, I apologize for jumping around, but I'm just trying to put it together, in the Shach Sifkatan Chavav, he quotes from the Rosh, Ran, also that way. So here we have a machlokas. Says the Bach, who's quoting the Shach Sifkat and Chaf Beis, and the Ran, I'm going out of historical order, I apologize, who's quoting the Shach Sifkat and Chaf Beis, no, midoraisa, it's considered parish, and you go by the rule. But midrabanan gazru, kachashav kavua, that it's like kavua. It's only kavua midrabanan, because it's like kavua. Meaning midoraisa, we go by what you touched. And you didn't walk into the stores. You didn't touch the stores. Midrabanan, we go by what you saw. And you saw it leave the store. Okay. However, the Shach himself does not hold that way. And he quotes the Toras Chatas as well, who does not hold that way. And he quotes The Rashba is, he says, Mashba as well. What does he say here? He says, in Sivkat and Chav Beis, he says, give me a second. Yeah, he says the mashmos of the Rashba and the Isser V'Heter and the Toras Chatas is not that way. So says the Shach, also Sukkot Mechaf Beis, Al-Ki, mashmos, Rashba, Isser V'Heter, Toras Chatas V'Od. He thinks, no, this is Kavua, Mida Oraisa. Okay, so this is, the Nafkamina is going to be slight, I admit, but essentially a question, it's a borderline case, right? You visually encounter the stores, you saw it leave a store and you don't know which, but you physically only encountered the piece of meat. You never walked into a store, you found meat on the street. Right, so what's the din in that case? So, we're clearly machber, we treat it as mechza al mechza, but the Shach thinks Mida Oraisa we treat as mechza al mechza, because Mida Oraisa we go by what you see, not what you touch. And the Bach says, no, midrabanan. Midoraisa, we really call this parsh. Midoraisa, we go where you touch it. You never touch the stores. Only midrabanan, we call it kavua. Okay, but lemaisa, it's clear in the Arba, that halacha lemaisa, we call it kavua. Meaning, no one paskins that. Lemaisa, we call it parsh.
What's the story to say that we only go by touch, not by seeing?
Well, if this is one of these form questions. How do you ask the question? Do you, the way you halachically have to ask the question, is it based on what you physically interacted with, or based on what you intellectually knew about? So that's just a question you can answer different ways, right?
It seems possible that it should be like intellectually, because like you're seeing it happen in front of you, you know exactly.
Okay, but you could say that it's not a shaila until you physically encounter it. Then it's just interesting knowledge. So I think that would be the machlokas. Okay, that would affect some other subtle things that have to do with nowadays, but maybe we won't get to that yet. Let's look at some other questions. The Shach in Sivkat and Yudalid brings a big machlokas. What about what he calls kavua lemafreya? What does he mean, kavua lemafreya? So here's one interesting machlokas. Another interesting machlokas is what's called kavua lemafreya. What's kavua lemafreya? Ooh, this was big halacha lemaisa kavua lemafreya. Big halacha lemaisa, except not exactly closer to the case in Sif Hay, not exactly the case in the Shachar in Sif Gimel, Kavula Mafreya. But what's the case of Kavula Mafreya? Let's say, ooh, this is a good one. Nice and juicy. There are three butcher shops in town. I know the Goyim have a lot of butcher shops in town. Whatever, I'm in America. There are three Jewish butcher shops in town, and they're all kosher. That's why they're Jewish butcher shops. You don't need to trade Jewish butcher shops for that. Yeah, I'm good. Right? So there are three kosher butcher shops in town. And I go to them, and I don't remember which one I went to when. And I have a chicken in the freezer. It's from one of the shops. I don't remember which shop it's from. Why should I remember which shop it's from? I have a chicken in the freezer. I know. I only buy it at these three butchers, and I buy it at all of them. You know, it's just sort of random. Wherever I'm passing by, wherever's the biggest sale, whatever it may be, you know. Now, all of a sudden, what do they say? Scandal! One of them has been selling trace chicken. Now, this is not exactly the Muncie case. One of them has been selling only trace chicken, full of trace chicken. The Muncie case is actually a little different, because he was selling half and half. He was more clever. Right, I actually suggested a chumrah that was not adopted by the kosher agencies after the Muncie Butcher scandal. Are you guys old enough to remember the Muncie Butcher scandal?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Right. As a chassidish guy in Muncie, he had a butcher shop, and it turned out he was selling treif chicken and making a lot of money because, he was charging kosher prices.
So they wouldn't
charge. Yeah, he bought some kosher chicken so that he would be able to have receipts and they wouldn't notice he wasn't that stupid. And he got away with it for a long time. So I thought we should have a chassidish hashgacha. I thought we should have a chumrah from then on. Only modern Orthodox Jews are allowed to open up butcher shops. So the guy had like a little shrugi on his head, then the mashgiach would have watched him like a hawk, and he wouldn't have gotten away with anything. So then the guy pays us and whatever, he's a chassis. The mashgiach said, Mastami's okay, and, didn't keep an eye on him so much. So I don't know, I suggest that all the chassidish hashgachas should only allow modern Orthodox butchers, and that way they'll make sure the mashgiach does his job. Okay, they didn't take my advice on it.
suggest this to the conscious agencies?
No, I'm just joking. I'm right, but I'm just joking. It would work. It would for sure work. You man, you're Chassid Hashgacha. This guy, you don't trust him at all. Problem is, he's one of you, Mayan Shei Shlomeinu, then you all of a sudden you say, oh, come on, he wouldn't do anything like that. And it turns out that Ein Apotropos Lemamon. Okay, maybe it's not quite as bad as Arayos, but still, we underestimate the Yetzer Hara of money sometimes. We're like idealistic yeshiva bachrim. We underestimate how big averus, what big averus people would do to make money. So you have to be careful of people. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled program. Then you discover one of the stores was treif for the last 6 months. Okay? This chicken, if it's from the treif store, it's treif. And you know which store is treif, right? There's Yankel, Moishi, and David. And Moishi's store is treif. That's a scandal. Moishi's store is treif. Two-thirds odds you bought it from Yankel and David. One-third odds you bought it from Moishi. How do we look at this? If we look at now there's one piece of meat in my freezer, it's parish. From the latest suffix, it was parish, right? The moment the suffix became known to humanity, it was parish. I have one piece of meat that was already parish in my freezer. But if we go by, not by the latest suffix now, but by the original Maisa then, when I took it from Kavua, right? I took it from one of three stores, and I didn't pay attention to which store I took it from. That's why this is called Lamafreya. Do we go back to Lamafreya and say, I took it from the Kavua? Or do we say, no, Mikana Lahaba? When we find out the Shaila, from now on, it is parched. So that's the question. What do we say? Do we say, Bishas Leidas HaSafek? Right? Mi yediyas hasafek, right? When you know, hachaticha kvar piresh, and therefore it's mutter al pirov, or do we say no? Igloi milsa lemafreya, retroactively we know, dilokach. I took from three stores, one of which is identifiably treif and fixed in a place, and I don't remember which store I took it from. And therefore, you would say, mechza al mechza ve'aser. Right? Now, I think this is not the exact same case of the Muncie Butcher. Because I think in the case of the Muncie Butcher, he might have also had some kosher chicken in his store. Does anyone remember? Okay, let's say the Muncie Butcher was all treif. Then you would have the Shaila. Very chomer shayla, right? Be very chomer shayla, this case. Right? Maybe this was the case of the Muncie Butcher. Maybe it was all treif. I don't know. Okay, yeah?
This is like the story I had about the butcher in Kaman Shkol. We didn't know if it was kosher or not.
I don't remember your story.
They realized that the butcher store didn't have mashgacha, and they were just being nehman that he said he was selling Reuben meat, whatever. And they were proven either way. But I had all this chicken and...
Right, that's a similar shayla. Right, similar Shaila. So, what are you doing? I mean, that could be more complicated. Otherwise, because if it wasn't Reuben, it might have been kosher. You have to be very, very Haredi to say that if it's not Reuben, it's not at least a Safek kosher, right? I'd like to hope that no matter how Haredi you are, it's at least a Safek kosher, then you have Safek and all kinds of other things, not to mention the fact that, you know, the real truth is that if it's not Reuben, it's Me'ikra than kosher. It's just not Lamahadrin. Yes. So, yeah.
That's assuming that you have no idea or no way of knowing which one it came from.
No way of knowing.
In the Zev's case or probably the Muncie case, there's ways of, this clearly did not
The theoretical case, it doesn't have the label anymore, right? Okay. Right. So, what's the din here? This is a tremendous machlokas in the Shach in Sivkot and Yud Dalet. Right? Shach Sivkot and Yud Dalet deals with this case. Now, this case might have happened. And here I should have chazered on the internet. I look for all the lashon hara to find the exact. No, look for all the halachic essays. The exact case of the Muncie Butcher. Maybe this was the case of the Muncie Butcher. You know, if his store was all treif, if his store was half treif, half kosher, then it's more mekel than this, right? Because even if it was from his store, we don't know what it was. But let's say his store was all treif, right? Then you have this problem, it can have different scenarios that would come up. So what's the din? So this is a big machlokas in the shach. The Ran is mefuresh lahakel on this.
He quotes the Rambam Mefurash LaHakel, and Men Yachronim say the Rashba also meant that.
Many Achronim say the Rashba also meant that. He quotes the Ram LaHakel, and many Achronim say the Rashba also meant LaHakel. Okay, that's Big Tzad LaHakel. Who was Machmir?
For sure the Ra'ah was Machmir. And what book would the Ra'ah have been Machmir about this?
Hasagos on the Torah of Ice.
The Hasagos on the Torah of Ice of the Rashba, which is called the Bedek of Ice. So the Ra'ah on the Bedek of Ice for sure was Machmir. The question is, did the Rashba was Machmir. What did the Rashba mean? The Shach is convinced that the Rashba was also Machmir. The Rashba was also Machmir. There's no machlok between the Rashba and the Ra'ah in this case, at least. He thinks the Rashba was also Machmir at this case. Yeah, the Ra'ah might have had a different machlok with the Rashba, but at this etzem case, they're both the same. Okay, this is a big machlokus. And this is also, it's one of these technical machlokos. Right? One of these technical machlokas of just how do you ask the question, right? If you ask the question as of retroactively when you started, then you get one answer. If you ask the question as of when it became questionable, then you get a different answer. Now, how do we paskin on this? Very unclear, right? This can actually happen a lot. How do we paskin on this? The Shach was definitely Machmir on this. That's the whole point of the Shach. He thinks even the Rashba was Machmir on this. The Shach was Machmir. However, many others are Meku on this. Halacha Lamaisa, the Shach is Machmir on this. The Pri Chadash and the Aruch HaShulchan are Meku on this. And one of the reasons is this has to do with, anyone know which sugya in Shas? They say, well, it's a chiddush. If it's a chiddush, we don't say chidushim l'mafreya. Anyone know what sugya in Shas we would rely on to say that if something's a chiddush, we don't say it l'mafreya? I think even a chiddush with a formal svara, we don't say l'mafreya. But if it's a chiddush, you wouldn't have thought of it on your own. We don't say it l'mafreya. Anyone know any sugya in Shas having nothing to do with kashrus, where if something's a chiddush, we don't say it l'mafreya? Interestingly, Rav Chana claims against most people that it's machlokas somewhere, right? No?
Is it Makos?
The Gemara is not in Makos, but the Sugya is very, very shy of the Makos.
Is it
a what?
Is it a
Chalo? No. Eid Zomein, Mafreya hu nifsol mikana labo nifsol. Is an Eid Zomein possible only mikana lahaba when you're mazim him? Or the Mafreya from when he testified? Machlokas by Rava, and what's it based on? One Lashon and Rava, the Lashon that everyone focuses on is, it's a chiddush that an Eid Zomein is possible, because after all, it's two against two. It's a chiddush to believe the second two. Now, there are good formal svara to believe the second two, but it's still a chiddush. A chiddush, you don't say l'mafreya. So therefore, a lot of Achronim say, what do you mean? We know from the Gemara that a chiddush, you don't say l'mafreya. Here it does get a little tricky, because we paskin like Abaye. Rav Chanan says Abaye holds you do say a chiddush l'mafreya. Other people say Abaye says not a chiddush. Okay, we're not learning Makos now, although if we were, it would be very gishmak. A lot of this would be very gishmak. Anyway, so it might be not so pashut. Maybe you'd say it's before something right that you don't say chiddush l'mafreya, but Rav Chana claims that we pass like Abaye, it's one of the al-kigams, because Abaye does say chiddush l'mafreya, okay? Anyway, halach l'maisa unclear. It seems that most achronim are makel against the shachir not to say it l'mafreya, but this becomes a very, very big kasha. In the Muncie Butcher scandal, every rav gave a slightly different psach, but what did a lot of rabbanim say? A lot of Rabbanim said that if you have chicken, you know, they were all subtly different scenarios. A lot of Rabbanim said, if you have chicken,
it says like, most Rabbanim said the kash the dishes and threw out the chicken.
Really? Okay, a lot of Rabbanim said, here's an interesting one, because it's a different scenario. Some people only bought at that butcher, and some people bought at different butchers. Let's say it was this case, then I could have said you can eat the chicken, because now it's parish. That case is a little different. We'll get to that case in a moment. I could have said you could eat the chicken. Now it's parish. But the shach would have been machmir, right? L'maish this room to be makel, like the Pechadosh Nerach HaShulchan. But I would have said, you know what? You have one or two chickens. Throw out the chickens. How about your dishes? I would say for the dishes, for sure, rely on the Pechadosh and the Nerach HaShulchan and the Ran. Not to mention the fact that the dishes might actually be much better than the chickens. Why? Because the chickens came from the store. The dishes were never even in the store. The dishes are only indirectly related to the store, so maybe that makes them more parish. That's a whole discussion. But it could be that the dishes might be more likely parish. Anyway, halacha l'maaseh, we'll see. The main shaila they dealt with was slightly different. Was a person who only shopped in that store, but doesn't know if he bought kosher or treif.
Also, they knew that for the last few weeks, no kosher places were selling to him. So they knew for the last 2 weeks he was only getting chicken from Trader Joe's.
So then it could be very much like
but
this.
But they also said it was cooked, then to consult your rav and like deal with yeah. the things that were...
Yes. I'll explain why in a moment. You know, here I'm going to skip to something in Sif Hey, if you will be mochel me, just because the Shach already points it out and it's a little relevant. So let me skip to something in Sif Hey. It says in Sif Hey, what if... This is an example of Kavua D'Oraisa, right? The stores. What if it would be Kavua D'Rabbanan? What do I mean by Kavua D'Rabbanan? Let's say it would be a different case. Kavua D'Rabbanan L'Mafreya, which is really the discussion of Sif Hey. What do I mean by Kavua D'Rabbanan L'Mafreya? There's no Kavua D'Oraisa here. Here, it's very simple. What's the example? The example, the case is, I bought from one store, I bought one piece. Sorry. The case says, Lokach chaticha haru'uya leheskabe mechanut. From one store, there's only one store in town. Ve'acharkach nizgale Shehayu bechanot chatichos ksheros v'treifos. There's a tarovas of pieces in the store. V'rubam ksheros. By the way, in the old days, this would happen all the time. What happens? A butcher shop. The butcher says, today is a big day. I'm shechting five animals. He shechted five animals, chopped them up into chatichos v'rizlis kabe. Right, fresh ganazim, even bras, that he really scabbed, and then sold them in the store. I bring them to the store home. And what does he do? Meanwhile, he says, you know, all the parts people don't like as much, I don't know, the intestines, he sells off cheap to someone. He says, here's five intestines. Take these five intestines cheap. Guy goes home with the five intestines, and as he looks at these five intestines, he says, whoa, one of these has a hole in them. Calls up the rabbi, he says, I bought five intestines, one has a hole in it. What do I do? Right, he says, we'll eat the four without intestine, without the hole. The one with the hole is treifa. Hole in intestines makes the cow treifa. Throw it in the garbage. Guy says, should I tell the butcher? The rabbi says, oh my gosh. Says, 1/5 of the meat in this butcher shop is now treif. But there's no way to figure out which intestine that goes with it, right? How do you know which piece of meat is from which intestine?
The puzzle.
So with a puzzle, let's say you can't do the puzzle. The intestine you can't puzzle, right? Okay, and it's all chopped already. Exactly. That's where. So what do you do in that case, right? That's why it was there, right? So what do you do in that case? Well, 1/5 of the butcher store is treif. What if we go to the guy in the butcher shop? We say, sorry, your butcher shop is tarovas of kosher and treif, chatechos, real escabe. You have to give it all to the guy. He says, what about my piece of meat at home? Now, when I heard the suffix, it was parish. But a guy in the freya I took from kavua. But it's only kavua drabanan. It's not a dover that's really kavua in a certain place treif. It's just tarovas of chatechos. So do we say, no... Bishas legas hasafeg var parish. It's parish. When I hear about the suffeg, I have a parish. I have one piece of meat. What taroves? I'm not bishas taroves. I have one piece of meat in my fridge. One piece of meat is parish. Or do we say no? Igloi milsa lemafreya shelokach mitaroves shel chaticha ruilis kabi. And therefore, that tarovis is like 50-50, and I took from a tarovis that's usher. So what do we say in this case? So the ra'ah taka sounds like he's machmir. The ra'ah sounds like he's machmir. But the Rashba and the Ran and all the poskim are makel in this. Pasha, we're makel in this. And this is the Shulchan Aruch. And Sif Hey is Mefurish Makel on this. When it's only kavod rabbanon of a chatich zulis kaved, then pashat we're mekel and we don't say it l'mafreya. So, for example, if we turn down in the butcher shop that he had some kosher and some treif, we would then ask what was the majority. If it turns out in the butcher shop he had 40% treif and 60% kosher, and I bought a chicken, then I can for sure eat this chicken. Because that's only midrabanan, the 40% is not bought till the 60%. That's only kavod rabbanan. In kavod rabbanan, everyone agrees. Maybe not the ra'ah. But lemaisa, everyone agrees in kavod rabbanan that we don't go back from our frey and say, I took from a tarovis that was treif. We say, right now, when I found out the scandal, I have only one piece of meat. I'm only donning one piece of meat. The one piece of meat is called the parish, when we will parish. So it's clearance of hey la halacha. The ra'ah might disagree. But it's clearance of hey la halacha. There's no argument among the poskim that if it's a kavod rabbanan, we don't go back from our freya to aseret. If it would be kavod oraisa, that's a big machlok. Is that hayom hazeh? Which way to go? L'maisa, there's room to be made though.
But you
have to look at the circumstances. Okay, so these are some important machlokos that come up. I'll mention one other machlokos that comes up, which is very, very
relevant. This case was different because they knew it was all treif.
In this case, they knew that some weeks were treif and some weeks were not so pasha treif.
So they knew the last few days was all treif.
So if someone bought the last few days, then it's a vada.
Yeah.
Then nothing you can do about it. Then it's a vada, nothing you can do about it. What if someone doesn't know when he bought? What if someone doesn't know when he bought? Then, also not really so pasha, because look how many something. Okay, if you only bought in that store, you were in trouble. You were in trouble. Because it's the one kula they had a little, which we'll get is later in the Klois Veksveika, is, you know what some people were machmer? Basically, in that case, the Mutzi butcher, if someone only bought at that butcher shop, or forget it, only bought at that butcher shop, they know they bought recently at this butcher shop. By the way, Sif Aleph, your day, there's a big machlokas. How far back do we take away the guy's cheskes kashrus? Let's say we know at least for a few weeks, for a few months, we take away his cheskes kashrus. Let's say someone knows they bought at this butcher shop, but they don't know if they bought kosher or treif. They bought when he was still selling both types. And they cooked in their pots. What's the bid? All the food they have is for sure treif. What if they cooked them because it's suffic or rice? Let's say you manage bought from the guy who had suffic in a store. Then you have to throw away your chicken. How about your pots and your dishes? So that was a big machlokas. Some folks would say, suffic with chumra. You have to throw away your pots and your dishes. Other people said, hold on a second. Let's say you haven't cooked for 24 hours. Are your pots also deraiser or derabanan? Derabanan because it's ayin ben yomo, tam with gam. It's only zero ayin ben yomo. So here's a fascinating machlokas. Rabbi Akiva Eger deals with this much later in Siman Kof Yud. Great question. What if I bought a chicken, suffic kosher, suffic treif? I cooked it in a pot, and I ate in my dishes, and it's now been 26 hours. Is that a suffic d'oraisa or a suffic d'rabbanan? On the one hand, suffic d'rabbanan. These pots ain't even yomo. On the other hand, no. The shaila's not about the pots. The shaila's really about whether the chicken was kosher or treif, suffic d'oraisa. Maybe it's a suffic d'oraisa and it's galgil d'rabbanan. Here's a big discussion with Rabbi Akiva based on the shach later in our siman, which we're not going to paskin now, we're not going to get into now, but nice, there's room to make it, certainly there are other stuff in the hakel. What if you have a suffic d'oraisa that turns into suffic d'rabbanan, but the suffic d'oraisa is not around anymore? It's gone. What if you have chicken left, then it's a big problem. What if you have no chicken left, only pots? Do you say, well, the suffic was really about the chicken, so suffic d'oraisa will come in the pots are trade? Or do you say, no. It's not a suffix about the chicken anymore, because there are no chickens. They're gone. Suffix only about the pots. The pots are only rabbanan. That is a big machlokes haposken, where Rabbi Akiva Eger is mekel, but makom big hefsed, and based on that, a lot of the rabbis were mekel to not kasher your pots because of the big hef. The pots is not a big deal. To not kasher your dishes, throw out your dishes to the big hefsed in the Muncie Butcher case. Okay, we will leave that for now. Let's just speed ahead a little to see a few more halachos about kavua. So we're up to Sif Dalet. Rov Chanuyos. There's a lot more to do. Rov, let's quickly. Rov Chanuyos Mochos Besar Shkuta. Umiyat Mochos Besar Nevela. Most stores sell shchuta, and only some of them sell nevela. 90% kosher, 10% treif. You bought from one, you don't know which. It's kavua, kamechza, mechza, dami. Vinis arva ba'achirus. The piece that's kavua gets mixed with other pieces of meat. The kavua piece gets mixed with three kosher pieces. The tailor barob b'shem sveik sveika, it's bottle because it's sveik sveika, says the mechaber, this is now, the Rishonim here asks theras galore. The mechaber is quoting Rashba, they ask that it doesn't seem to be in the Rashba, then they ask that it's against the mechaber in two places, but let's just see what the mechaber says. Says the mechaber, what do you have? You have a piece that's from kavua, that's 50-50. It gets mixed with other pieces. Right, so here you have the kavua piece, and that gets mixed into a tarobis of three pieces. Now, what do you say about each of these pieces? Let's pick one piece from the tarobis, right? Safei that it's the chaticha min hakavua. Safei chatichas heter, and then we say. Va'afilo em who or he hachaticha min hakavua kavua is gemechza mechza dami, right? Safe mechanos kshera safe mechanos trefa. We'll use our language, right? So say it's a sveik sveika. Maybe this is the piece from the kavua, maybe it's not. And even if it is the piece from the kavua, then maybe it was from an usher store, maybe from a mutter store. So every piece is mutter because it's sveik sveika. That's what the mechaber says. Really, you could say all three pieces are mutter. The kavua piece is bottle of a rov. Why? Because each piece is a sveik sveika. Says the Ramah, and this is general sheet on sveik sveika. V'yesh osher michiyah gav, l'mishuv ha'makam, t'isher b'un kolmo, habikam mechza ha'mechza. Hoel, the subgarishan also not Torah, the Inkan Utsveka Lahata, Rektarovis, Lomikri Sveik Sveka, Behachi Nahud. Says the Ramah, general Sheikh the Ramah, we'll see later on in Siftes. Says the Ramah, nope. Says the Machaber, Motivishan Sveik Sveka. Says the Ramah, not true. Says the Ramah, not true. One second. Says the Ramah, Motar Rishon Sveik Sveika. The Ramah gives a rule. Says the Ramah, nope. Whenever the first suffix is also midoraisa, you can't make a Sveik Sveika if it falls into a tarovis. That's a rule of the Ramah. If a suffix doraisa l'chumra gets mixed with other pieces, that's not a valid Sveik Sveika. Okay, why, we won't explain yet. Till next year. But he says, nope, Osir. The haklal hu, the kol suffeg, she'aser mi da'oraisa, she'nafal letoch, heter, venis arev, v'dover choshov, eino sveik sveika. That's the rule of the Ramah. If you have a tarovus dover choshovs, you know, nine of them are mutter, and one of them is something that's asur mishum safik d'oraisa l'chumra, then you can't say sveik sveik in this case. Okay, why we won't get into now, because I want to learn sif hei. But Salo, will you help me out, please? We'll learn sif hei and then call it a day. Sif hei. Misha lakach. But it'll bring up a very, very important issue. Misha lakach basar mea makolin. What is makolin? Oh, it says right here. Makolin is a butcher shop. Right? Okay, some people think it might be related to the modern makolet, even though we spell it a little differently. Someone who brought from a butcher shop, afilu chatiru ilis kaved, and they bought a chatiru ilis kaved from one kosher shop. This is my case over there. The nimtzeis treif makolin, then they discover some of the meat in the makolet was treifa, right? The intestines, one-fifth of the meat, or one-third of the meat, as long as a minority, was treif. There's no way to tell which pieces are from the treifa. He doesn't know which animal he took from. He took from a store that maybe through no fault of his own was 10% or 20% or 30% treifa. Kol ma'ashalachem ya kol and kodesh is that treifa mutter. Shlo nafal asafik bekavua el acher shapireish v'kevin sharov kosher mutter end of first half. This is the clear psak I said right now. Right? This is what I just said. You bought from the store and then discovered retroactively that a fifth of the store was treif. You bought a chatik with a skabit. From now on, the whole tarobus is usher. It's a tarobus of chatik with a skabit, kosher, and treif. It's all kavua d'rabbanan. So do you say, I go back to Lamafreya and say, I took from kavua d'rabbanan to all usher? Or do you say, no, I only learned about the suffix now. Not because I'm an idiot. Because like the world only learned about the suffix now. Now I have one piece that's already been parished. So that's what I said. When it comes to kavod drabbanan of dar chetir with his kavod, everyone agrees you don't have to go back retroactively and say it's usher. Right now it's parish, and that's what he says here. The latest asafik was not the kavua. No one knew there was a suffik when it was kavua. There was no knowledge of iser when it was kavua. The knowledge of iser only came into the world when it was already parish, when it was one piece in my fridge. Therefore, I can say I have one piece in my fridge. I'm just asking what that one piece is. The odds are there's mutter. Question is, what about what's left in the store? Avalikach mikan ve'elach aser. Okay, so let's just put this on the board, and then we will call it a day. Let's remember what the case is. You discover that a minority of the meat in the butcher store is treif. Right? Could be a Muncie butcher case, or could even be an innocent case in the old days. Right? Remember, you don't have to check the intestines. It's a mean shayna matzui. He was perfectly justified in selling the intestines of five intestines without checking them. So it happened to notice that one of the intestines had a hole in it. Right? And it's too late to piece together the puzzle. So what do you do with this case of the chanos she yeshbo rov chatichos sheiros umiyot chatichos trefos. So, lima freya, right? One case is what's called lima freya. Whatever was bought before leidos hasafek. That's easy. Mutter. Mishum de kol de parish. Meiruba parish. We don't go back. Lord Afreya, Mikanel Haba, you have one piece at home. That one piece came from the roof. But what about Mikanel Haba? Meaning, the pieces left in the store. What about the pieces left in the store? So, you would say, at first, it's obvious. What's the din of the pieces left in the store? They're 20% treif, 80% kosher, but they were real less kabet. What's the din of the pieces left in the store, Zev? 20% treif, 80% kosher, and they're real less kabet. Pasha, it's not batal. Chadir, real less kabet, not batal. That's the shmizi part. That's not a machlokas rishonim. So there are two cases. 2.1 is the big pieces. Meaning, the pieces that are re'uyos lehiskabe. That's pashut. That they're all asurin. Why? What's the svara? Mishum dechatira re'uliskabe eina betela. And you have minority of chatira re'uliskabe. The question is, here's where it gets controversial. What about the small pieces? After all, When the butcher chopped up the meat, he made some small pieces too, right? Suddenly, he chopped it, he got a little small piece, right? Which are einam reuyos lehiskaved. What's the din of the small piece in the butcher shop? What would you think? There's also small pieces. Let's just divide the butcher shop. Put all the big pieces over here and the small pieces there. The big pieces are all treif. You have to sell them all to goyim at a discount and lose a lot of money. All right, that's life. What about all the small pieces? So what would you think? What's the din of all the tarovs of small pieces? 80% kosher, 20% treif. What would you think?
I think it doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
It's
why is it kavua? Is it nicker bimkomo? Do they have a fixed place where they're recognizable? It's not kavua d'oraisa. Is it kavua d'rabbanan? Right? So, definitely not kavua d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. Right? Because look, it's just a jumble of pieces. Right. Nothing has a fixed place where you can tell what it is. So what's the din? Machlokas Rashba versus Rush and Tor. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rashba. Aval likach mikan ve'eloch osur. You can't buy the rest of the pieces. Va'filach hatich she'enuli. Even a hatich she'enu ruilis kabel is osur. Why? She'enu kol b'kiyim b'zev v'yitu ben ruilis kabel she'enu ruya. It's osur only as a gzeira, because most people don't know the difference. And if you let them buy the ain ruilis kabel, they'll also buy the ruilis kabel. So one shita is the Rashba and the Mechaber. What does the Rashba and the Mechaber say? They say, Mutter Alpidin, because Mishum Bittel Barov, but, and here the Shach adds, only in a store, in your house would be okay, because you don't have the whole public. But, Usher, in a public store, because it would be confused with big pieces. Okay, could it be confused with big pieces? In which case, you could imagine there might be ways to get around the confusion. There might be ways to get around the confusion. Maybe if like no one knew about it until they already threw out all the big pieces. However, here's what's interesting. The Rush and the Tor say differently. The Rush and the Tor say, Aser al pidin, mishum kavua. They say, Aser al pidin, mishum kavua. And no one knows what they mean. Beis Yosef said, what do they mean, mishum kavua? There's no kavua, it's the rows of small pieces. Like, what are they, voting for Feiglin? How can they say something like this? Right? It's not kavua. It's tarubas of small pieces. We know tarubas of small pieces, not kavua. So what could the Rush and Tor possibly have meant? There are two defenses of the Rush and the Tor. And with this, we will end. What did you get already?
I think I got it.
You think you got everything, right? How would it even be kavua derabanan? It's tarubas of small pieces. We know small pieces are batal.
Yeah, everything on the right side.
Everything from here on, right? Okay, so let us... defenses of the Rush and the Tor. It really seems crazy. Beis Yosef says there is no defense. That's easy for him to say. He's the one who argues, right? How do you defend the Rush and the Tor? It's a tarovas of small pieces. How can they call it kavua? So there are two ways to defend the Rush and the Tor. One is the Bach and the Darkei Moshe and the Prisha. And the second is the Taz. Says the A is the Darkei Moshe, the Bach and the Prisha. They say they changed the case. They say, no, the Rush and the Tor understood the case differently. Obviously, in the case I mentioned, they would never say that. They understood the case differently. You know what case, how they understood the case? There were five animals sold by five different butcher stores. One guy collected all the intestines, found a hole in one of them. There are five different, and we have no way of knowing, not which piece is which. We have no way of knowing which store is which. One is they change the case, right? What's the case? There are five stores. Each sold one animal. One animal was found to be treif. Now, hold on a second. If we find out the animal in Moshe's store was treif, and I don't remember which store I went to, that's the shayla. We're talking about Kamal Haba. If they find the animal in Moshe's store is treif, all of Moshe's stores goes in the garbage, and everyone else's store is okay. But what's the problem? What animal is found to be treif, and we don't know which. Now, what do you have here? You have four kosher stores, which are full of kosher, and one treif store. Now we have four kosher stores and one treif store. And we don't know, we can't know. Not we don't know because we didn't pay attention, which is which.
So say the darkei moshe and the machane prisha, that's kavua, because each store is fixed in place. So now here, let's just end. Therefore, the treif store is kavua bimkomo. So it's all usher because kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. You have a tarovas of stores.
One is treif fiber kosher. It's kavua. That's what they all say in the Torah in the Rush. How is this against the Rash Kinon? Yes, the treif store is kavua, but what is it not? It's not nicker. It's not identifiable. This is the biggest machlokes in the world. You should know this affects a lot of halachot ma'aseh. I'll explain to you why in a second. This is big machlokes. Okay, stay for this big machlokes. Big machlokes. What if you have an iser kavua ve'eino nicker? It's not like the stores in the case of the Gemara, where it was nicker, which store was which. Here, there's no way any human being can ever know which store is which. Only Eliyahu Navi knows. That doesn't help us, halachically, right? It's not like the Kanan and Yisraelim, where you could just look at their face and see who's who. There's no way of knowing. What about Iser Kavua Ve'Eino Nicker? Mechadesh here, say the, this is a very, very, very important issue, says the Bach, the Darkei Moshe, and the Prisha, says the Bach, Darkei Moshe, and the Prisha. The truth is, if you look carefully, it sounds like the Bach thinks it's the rights of the Prisha, thinks it's only Rabbanim. We'll leave that for now. Says that this is called Kavua. Says the Shach Alpisvara. Says no, this is not Kavua. And the Rosh Kinon, and the Shach Alpisvara, and the Tosfos in Rov Hashas, and the Rashba, and the famous Sefer Akrisos of the Rosh Kinon, who brought that great proof, says this is not Kavua, because the Isser isn't Nikar. That's not the case of Kavua. This is a big machlokis. How does this machlokis come up? It comes up a lot. For example, let's say someone planted some non-firm Jew has a whole orchard. One of the trees he only planted 2 years ago, it's Arla. No one remembers which is which. There's one Arla tree and 300 kosher trees. No one knows which is which. Each tree is kavua b'mkomo. It has roots, but it's not nikar. So, are all the fruits treif or all the fruits kosher? This makes a big nafkamina in industrial Arla, right? This is one of the big shilas in industrial Arla. What if there's one tree and no one knows which it is? Is that kavua and an iser d'oraisa on all the apples? Or is that not kavua? It gets much more complicated by the time it gets to the shuk as well. Okay, halacha l'maisa. What do we say about this halacha l'maisa? The shach was machmir. Even though he wasn't convinced, later on he clearly was machmir. We see where these machmirs have cut in Yud Zayin and Chav Tes, even more so. However, the Chazan Ish was makel. He says, give me a break. It's against all the Rishonim. There's one Tosfos in Nazar who might sound like that, actually. But we're not going to get into it now. And the Or HaShulchan was also the Chazan Ish. I'll tell you where. In Siman Lamed Zayin, Yud Beis and Lamed Zayin, Sifchaf Aleph. And the Or HaShulchan in Siman Kuf Yud, Sif Mem Zayin, Armeko. Okay, this is a big machlokis. It really comes up in industrial pastures nowadays. Sometimes you have these cases. Something's kavua, but it's not identifiable. Is that called kavua or is that not called kavua? Big machlokas. Okay, that depends on if you hold to this answer, then you're machmer on this. Or at least machmer according to the Rush. You could say the Rush Bagufa disagrees with him, which he does. Okay, this is a big machlokas. This is our last fundamental machlokas. Let me just end by pointing out something very lumpish, which we don't quite discuss, the Taz's defense of the Rush and the Torah. What was the Taz's defense of the Rush and the Torah? The Taz said, you know what they meant? They meant, no, don't change the case. The case. But once we forbade all the big pieces, it would be inconsistent to permit
the small pieces. Why? Because they're from the same animal. Because they are from the same animals. Meaning, we say all the big pieces are treif.
Hold on, if the big pieces are treif, the small pieces are from the same animal. How can the big pieces of treif and the small pieces be kosher? After all, they're all from the same cow. Either the cow's kosher or it's treif. Therefore, because of tarti desasri, to not contradict ourselves, we have to forbid the small pieces as well. This is a big three-man machlokas, by the way, in the Pesachei Tshuva here. What if you have, based on the rules of Kavu and Parsh, half the animals should be kosher and half should be treif? Do you say it all becomes kosher, it all becomes treif, or it ends up being half and half? Shach thinks it all becomes treif. There's a lot of lumdus that has to do with, Bitzal tells has to do with birur versus hachra, right? Are you allowed to contradict yourself? Is rov a birur or a hachra, right? Anyway, we're not going to go into it now.
What does that have to do with kavua?
He means is a side effect of kavua d'rabbanan, right? So it's usher because of a side effect of kavua d'rabbanan. That's what they meant by it's kavua, right? As a side effect of the kavua d'rabbanan, that's the big piece of the small piece of usher. Okay, hopefully this is a good introduction. We'll try and get these concepts down, even if we're not going to... They don't come up every day, but they're very important concepts to know. I want to pick up... I know we only have one more shiur in Hilchos Haruvos. We're not going to be able to get as far as I wanted, but I want to at least discuss basics of Sveik Sveika in the next shiur. Sveik Sveika is basically... I mean, you could...
A big shot.
But, yeah, okay, fine. The Iker I want to discuss in the next shiur... Be'ikr, I want to discuss, Se'ifim, you know, I'll try to mention briefly, Vav and Zayin, Be'ikr, I want to discuss Se'ifim, Ches and Tes, Be'kitzer, Nimrod, just an overview, and then we will have to leave the rest of Hilchos Haruvos for anyone who wants to be Bashwin, over Ben Esmane.